everybody. Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
What's up? We're all slap happy.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
Why does it feel that way?
We spent the morning putting up a wall of soundproofing to make our sound a little better. So.
Yeah. So we're already like warmed up. We're already like half a drink in.
Yep.
Half a Michelada in on a Saturday morning. What's up?
Yeah. And a lot has happened in the past couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, we haven't recorded in like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know,
who are you guys? I feel like it's been so long.
I know. It's been a wild couple of weeks. I feel like the month of October is just kind of like
flown by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm happy to be here with you guys. We have so much to talk about. Yeah.
I feel like Rocktober is what we should.
Rocktober.
Get out.
Cocktober.
The thing that sticks most in my head right now is that Instagram post.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I completely understand that.
I literally have no clue what you guys are talking about.
By the time this episode comes out, this is going to be old news. I understand it, but
I can't stop thinking about it.
Literally, it lives in my brain rent-free. And like, it's like, it is like a jump scare for mm-hmm. me. Like I'll be in the shower and then I'll be like, huh, you know, I'll just think about it. So I also need to say, because Megan Fox, mm-hmm. we were rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. I was on this podcast saying how much I've come to really like you, you know, and then you have to go and embarrass me like this. Like
it's... I think you need to read it for Cassie.
I have no idea.
You need to have this in your head as much as
so.
As
let me, let me preface this by saying,
need to know, but I'm also like, do I need to know?
This Instagram post is underneath a photo of their GQ cover, her and Machine Gun Kelly, because they did a interview with British JQ.
Right. And I think calling themselves like the modern like
Kurt and Courtney or
yeah. I also heard like Angelina and Billy Bob.
Just stop it. Everything I know about this couple, I've learned against my will. I feel like Hollywood is force feeding them to us, like making us think that they're going
to make Machine Gun Kelly happen. That's where I'm at.
Stop trying to make them like an it couple. Like it couples happen on their own.
That's right.
Because people are just so invested. Like you don't need to fucking force them on us. So the cover of this, first of all,
you're trying too hard.
The cover of this GQ is
Can I see it?
Megan Fox, and she's like, yeah, I'll show it to you. She's naked. Sitting on a leather couch with a gun pointed at Machine Gun Kelly's crotch. So cringe already. Like, we don't love it.
She's so fucking hot,
Look,
though.
Yes.
He is so gross to me.
Yes.
There is not anything about her or him that is attractive to me at all.
Oh, yeah. She's gorgeous.
He's hunching well above his weight class.
Yes. Yes. And I also think extremely average. Like Machine Gun Kelly is so average. It's like
if he was in a bar, I wouldn't even look.
No. I like a skinny white guy. And no.
He looks like my neighbor.
Oh no.
Doesn't he? You know who I'm talking about?
Wow. Yes.
You know exactly who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wait, is my neighbor Machine Gun Kelly?
Hold on a second.
I think you know.
I think I would know.
So
I didn't know my one neighbor was like a fucking solid bachelorette.
I knew her and then I went to her Instagram and I was like, that looks like Cassie's kitchen where she was taking all of her pictures.
Amazing.
It wasn't your kitchen but all your kitchens
look the same. Yeah,
but this interview, okay, I feel like we need to discuss this. The interview is so like, it has been a while, I feel like, since I have felt genuine cringe, like real cringe. And like reading this interview, they're so sincere about their relationship in like the cringiest way. Like they genuinely, it feels like emo kids who spent all their time in Hot Topic.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like I am in love with my boyfriend.
Gross.
And I would
gag.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's gross.
Yeah, it's weird. This level of the way that they talk it's about phony their relationship. Sounding, isn't yeah, it? I'm yeah. like, why? Yes, why are you trying to sell it me is. On this?
I would like to bring up something that came up very early in our podcast. So, for any of those of you who are working your way maybe backwards, we'll hear this later. I hate romance. We know it's a red flag for me. That's what I'm getting from this. Is you, that I hate,
cannot wait it, to. I'm going to watch you the whole time we read this.
My skin's
to you.
Already hot
because here. The internet took this one line from this GQ interview and ran with it because it's so stupid and cringy. So Megan Fox is recounting when she first met Machine Gun Kelly, and she's like saying that he looked like a vampire or whatever. And then he came over to her and she said, "You smell like weed." And he said, "I am weed."
Oh my God.
No.
Oh, okay. And she was like, from that moment on, oh, I knew. Okay. So she posted this Instagram post, right?
Were they both on Molly is the question. Because that would only work with me.
Always on Molly.
Well, there you go.
Maybe they're that's maybe their that, whole relationship.
Maybe Molly is the relationship.
It yeah. makes sense.
That would make sense
to me because I'm like, that's fucking so obscure and so next level.
Keep in mind that Megan Fox is older than me. Like, Megan Fox is, like, this is a woman, like...
She's almost my age,
well into her 30s. Late 30s, right? And this is her Instagram caption underneath this GQ post that she put on her Instagram. It's all lowercase as well. Mm-hmm. The tale of two outcasts and star-crossed lovers caught in the throes of a torrid solar flare of a romance featuring, : feverish obsession, guns, addiction, shamans, lots of blood, general mayhem, therapy.
Did she say fucking shamans?
We're not done.
Tantric night terrors. Binding rituals, chakra sound baths, psychedelic hallucinations, organic smoothies, and the kind of sex that would make Lucifer clutch his rosary.
That is the line.
That's
for me.
The line.
That Damn, is. You are not 15 years old on Tumblr. What are you doing?
That is exactly. I literally was like, did she somehow break into my mom's house, go upstairs in the attic, open my trunk, and get one of my 15-year-old diaries?
It's just, it is so just like stream of consciousness in the weirdest way. Like that is shit that I used smoothies.
To do. Listen, that's the shit I used to do when I was, for sure, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Super fucking high.
Super
just
emo.
Just fucking writing and shit. And it's just writing it down.
Oh, are you not embarrassed?
Honey.
Yeah. I'm like, and then that's the kind of relationship I also wanted, that kind of intensity when I was 15. That's not at all what I would want right now. Like sound baths and organic smoothies.
I mean, that part of it sounds pretty good. Like chakras, sound baths, organic smoothies, I'm in. You go with some of the other shit, I'm at therapy, in, right? Yeah. You know?
You're like tantric. It sounds like
guns,
too much work.
Addiction, general mayhem, I'm out. I'm tired.
It's very counterintuitive, right? Does that, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, guns, addiction. And also a sound bath.
Also some therapy.
Also did a sound bath recently. Immersive. Very, very interesting.
I would like to do a sound bath.
But also too, I'm the kind of person who's like, is this going to be over soon? Or
exactly. That's the problem. I can't do that. I can't do floating. Not floating like we were talking about last week, I'm talking about like the float tanks or whatever.
Yeah. Which, I don't think I could either. I get too bored.
P.S. While we're at it, like floating, we talked about it last
soaking,
week. It's soaking.
AKA soaking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag not all like evangelicals or Mormons or something. We weren't trying to say that.
For
but,
sure.
You know, some people are doing it.
The point is that whenever you're not allowed to have sex, teens will find ways around it.
Correct.
And like, and that goes for everybody. Yeah. Like that goes for every belief system. Sure. Like I experienced it. So yeah.
Back on this because
it is so embarrassing for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And Machine Gun Kelly
but what if
is
that's
so
your mom?
Gross.
But what if that's her mom?
No, and
but
what if that's your mom? She's got kids.
That's what I'm saying. But what if that's her mom? What if that's her mom?
But also, is it?
If that was my mom looking like that in the picture, I'd be like, fuck yeah, that's my mom.
Yeah, I get it.
That bitch is hot. My mom is hot.
I got good genes.
I got good genes.
Yeah.
Right. But That caption?
Yeah.
The caption.
Is it also like offensive at all, do you think, to be talking about like guns and addiction in that way?
Yes. As romantic. Like,
as a romantic thing when I'm like,
do think so, yes.
Yeah. Like suffer and die from gun violence and addiction all the time and like glorifying it is not something that I
appreciate.
I preach.
I have a hot take, maybe. I don't know if this couple is real. Like, do you think this is real or do you think this is like...
Twilight couple.
Do you think this is PR? Like, do you think it's just like, who does this? Like, it doesn't feel genuine. Like, are you like this?
I think it's real. I think that it's going to fizzle fast, in my opinion.
Crushes that burn this hot especially when you're older.
We're going to hear months from now about like some kind of real like dangerous situations that they put themselves in, possibly. Like, it does. I see your face and it says worry, and that's where my head is as well.
I am. I'm worried, and I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like promoting this kind of like relationship aesthetic either.
No, I don't.
It's something to aspire to. I feel like doesn't feel healthy. Juvenile.
It is extremely
and just weird. Yeah, for the sake of it.
This is something that you should grow out of, like genuinely. Like, you shouldn't want a toxic relationship. Like, and I understand that there's a reason why there's an appeal there, because it feels exciting. Like, it gets you, like, your adrenaline pumping or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's so fucking damaging that it's just like your dating experience should lead you to a place where you're like, that's not what I actually want.
Amen.
In my life, you know? And I just... Like, listen, man, Travis and Courtney, who just got engaged, mm-hmm. good for them.
Which, by the way,
that
super
was
cute.
Super cute. Yeah.
I just don't know why, but I really, because you know that I don't give a shit about the Kardashians, like, or whatever. And I couldn't give a shit about Travis Barker either. Like, I don't care. Whatever. There's something really genuinely cute. Yeah.
And see, that's what I want.
Put my finger on.
That's what I wanted for Megan Fox. Like, I wanted that, like, just kind of like.
It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense.
And they're cool in their own, like, quiet, cool way. Now, listen, Courtney, if you are listening to this podcast, do not embarrass me. Do not do something like Megan Fox did after I went to bat for her on this podcast. Okay. Don't you embarrass me.
Well, I mean, I need to start, I guess, bringing out more of my poetry.
Some in this trunk.
I feel like
behind us right now.
I think that we are seeing.
She needs more captions.
If she needs more captions. Look, I have a lot that I can offer you. There's a lot of cut out pictures of
real zine
vampires
vibes.
That I definitely printed off on my just like at home printer in black and white, because we were out of color ink. I feel that so hard. I put next to my own poetry pictures of like vampires that I cut out.
Oh.
Pasted. Yes. Next to my own poetry.
This is
Meanwhile, I'm writing softcore porn about my
I'm writing one liners, like just single word one line poetry is over here. Oh my God. We were a mess.
Okay, but we were 15. I can say I would not put that on my Instagram today, no. Megan. Okay.
No, it's because we got to live that. I mean, how long has she been famous? That's the other thing you have to think about, is sometimes these people have been famous since they were so young, right? And I'm not, I don't think she was like a child star or anything, but she was fairly young.
She was probably in her upper teens, early 20s. There you go. So, yeah.
I think there's a little stunted of development that happens for sure. When you get famous, no, like in your early 20s.
It's just a different world that you grow up in.
Yeah. And everybody's like, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you never get past that thing.
Yeah.
I got plenty of people telling me that it was not cool.
Oh, so many. I think it's important for development for somebody to tell you you are not fucking cool.
You know what? You're not cool. You're not funny.
You know what? One of my favorite things is I did get on Twilight TikTok for a while, because Twilight had a real resurgence when all the movies got put on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And the number of people, and there are more than one, mm-hmm. who had like Twilight themed photo shoots.
Wow.
When they were like in their like teens or preteens.
Can we do that? They're like senior photos.
Oh, they're senior photos. Imagine.
What?
Your senior photo. It's like all black and white where they're holding an apple and the apple is colorized. That kind of thing. Oh, honey. It is.
Stop. Please tell me it didn't happen.
Oh, senior photos are a total vibe, though.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. I love the...
They're a moment in time. Oh,
the mirror, the classic lean.
Leaning on the tree.
I have the classic lean on a tree.
Yeah,
I do. Too. And it's usually one leg up, arms crossed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a vibe. It's a whole vibe.
Leaning against that number. You're like, oh, 05. Graduating class of 97.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And it's a brick wall. So
fake. Many brick walls. Brick wall. Oh, God. I have some senior photos in front of a brick wall. Mm. Oh, wow.
I think the other thing we must talk about, I cannot leave this for one more week. I know, again, old news, but it must be talked about.
And we had several people send it to us as well.
You're talking about the toilet.
Yes.
The shared toilet. Megan Trainor came out and said, share it. You got it.
Her husband is Daryl Sabara, who of Spy Kids fame. Okay, that's what I know him from. Like, he was the kid in Spy Kids.
He was the little kid in Spy Kids.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And he's worked since then. Like, I think he was in Green Inferno, and, like, he's done some things since then. And to be honest, like, I'd seen some things with them before, and their relationship seems very cute. Like, he genuinely, like, his Instagram is just like he loves his wife, and like he's so proud of her. Like, anytime like she performs, he's like, look how beautiful and talented
you're
she
doing
is, right?
So good.
Yeah, like, I know. it's adorable. However, they recently came out, I think Megan Trainor, and the Megans are really coming out strong this episode.
Yeah,
Megan Trainor said in an interview that her and her husband love being together so much that when they were building their house, they put in side-by-side toilets.
Absolutely
in their bathroom.
Not.
No.
That's also not something to aspire to. No.
That kind of codependence.
You can be away long enough to take a shit.
Yes. It's weird. And I was like, no, 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 no. But then Megan Trainor took a video. She made like a TikTok where she's like, my husband's so sick of us talking, people talking about it that I have to like be alone or whatever. It was like her on the toilet and she like panned over and there is another toilet next to it. It's for real.
And honestly, like aesthetically, I don't like
awful.
It.
Awful.
Hideous.
Imagine you're going to look for a house.
That's the shit that ends up on like Zillow.
Yes.
Like those Zillow TikToks where they're like, look what at this. You're like, what? Looks normal. What the fuck is that?
Why are there two toilets? Side by side.
You know what?
It reminds me of, there was that SNL skit, which it was like the two toilets facing opposite each other so they could hold hands or whatever. You remember that? Like, it was a whole, it was like the back in like the 90s.
Well, no. I was going
to
ask.
I have to find that for
is
you.
Is it better? Like, to have them side by side or like facing each other.
It's better awful. That it doesn't exist.
Thank you.
At all.
It's not a thing.
Well, dude, we know that I am a closed door bathroom. I have a full closed door policy.
I have an open door policy, but I don't necessarily need you to be in there.
No. What I do in the bathroom is a private
business
between me and the Lord. So
I don't mind the door being open. Like, if I have to just run in and pee real quick, I don't care about that. But I do not. And that actually took a lot of personal therapy to become that person. So to me, that actually feels like a win. I know that doesn't feel that way to you guys, but it's a personal thing that like of my own comfort level of being naked and being. I know that's a weird thing.
No,
but
it's not
a naked thing for me. I don't care. Like, obviously, like, Eric's seen me naked or whatever, or you guys have seen me naked. Yeah. So it doesn't bother me. It's the act of peeing and pooping, which I know everybody does.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I don't need to know what Eric looks like when he poops.
No. It is not. Nobody is a cute pooper. No one.
No.
Nobody is like in there and you're just like,
have
this
you seen
is
Chris? You want
the
me to take
most
a picture?
Attractive you've shit. Ever been to me. You know what I mean? Like, no. Yeah. I just don't understand why it's necessary. I don't understand how this came up. Like, what was the conversation like? What did the contractor think? Like,
that contractor was paid enough to mind his own goddamn business is what he was thinking.
You're probably right. Absolutely.
That's what he was thinking. He's like, this ain't none of
if
my
this
fucking
is your
business.
Thing, I guess it's fine. Like, I cannot imagine a situation in which I would be like, yeah, that sounds good.
Cool.
But also, it's just like, if their reasoning for it is that they can't be away from
each other.
That's dangerous. That's not the relationship aesthetic to model. Like, that you're just so invested in the we instead of like two people that individuals, decide to come together.
To me, I can't even take a shit by yourself. I can't even comprehend that because I enjoy my time by myself so much.
Yeah,
that I'm like, I cannot understand. Like, you can love someone and not want to be with them literally 24/7.
There are lots of people that have separate whole ass houses for their spouse.
Listen, that there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Like, you do you.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you.
Exactly.
I got to be honest. That week, I was so effing busy last week. I literally, you guys know this. I worked 10-hour days, 5 days straight. It was intense. And Chris literally slept on the couch every single day because he also, like, first of all, I would wake up before him. I'd be out the door before he woke up. I came home, ate food, went to the bedroom to do a little bit of homework, went to sleep. Like, that was it. But Chris also knew I had to be asleep soon. So he was slept on the couch like the whole week because he was just like, I don't want to disrupt
supportive.
You.
Yeah, it is.
And like,
that's
I don't want to like, you know, have TV on and like, you know, bother you and whatever. And it was weird, but it was also like, you know, being able to sleep in different rooms, just knowing that you're not, just so that you can, like you said, it's
very supportive.
Yeah. It's not even
and
about
very
like
thoughtful.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who prefer to sleep like in separate beds. Like if they get like hotels, they'll get hotels with beds side by side instead of like one big one because it's like, yeah, people sleep differently. Sure. Like, you know, and that's
some
okay too.
Gets
if
real
you,
hot,
if you want your own space, we've talked about like different. Like, I don't need to sleep in a separate bed, but like different people sleep differently. Like some people like to cuddle. Some people need to not be touched. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's fine. It's okay. You're your own person. And it's okay that you have your own like preferences.
You know who disrupts this, our sleeping in the bed the most is honestly Chuck. Charles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Xavier Having Norris. The animals in the bed right now is like fucking Ace Ventura because we have Pickles, we have Leatherface, and we have Villain. So
and
two dogs and a cat. And two people trying to sleep in a queen bed. We have to either get a different bed, like a bigger one, or something else because I'm like, sleep is
but
every night
listen,
waking up.
You've already established with these animals that they sleep with you. So good
they're
luck trying to kick them out. They're not
so cute.
They're not going to go. They're going to rip your door apart before they
look
at you.
Oh, no.
Like,
they would actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How's that sex life coming?
I know. Right?
You're like, I love you so much. Let's go on vacation.
I know. Someday he will not be a puppy, but also I hope he is always a puppy because he's so cute. So who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
Oh, man. Dangerous boys.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, the bad boys.
Bad boys. What you gonna do?
Oh wait, that's too. Oh, with the kind of sex that make Lucifer cry.
I will literally rip my own eyes out. No.
Clutch his rosary, sir.
That doesn't even make sense, Megan.
I mean, it's
for a lot of reasons.
But that's, but listen, am I mad at that? 16-year-old me was like, oh, that's such a good line.
Mm. I'm going to steal that. I love that. I
totally would have copy-pasted that or like wrote it in my notebook.
And then pasted it next to that cutout that I made of.
Yeah.
Some dangerous boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh, dangerous characters?
Do we want characters or people?
Okay, wait. I have an idea.
Okay.
Because it is still spooky season. Uh-huh. What if we do like characters? I know we've done vampires before, but what if we did like, you know, like, oh, like Edward from Twilight or what? I don't know. Like like that. Like that dangerous.
Yeah.
Spooky
dangerous
guy.
Bad guy.
Dangerous bad guy. A bad boy.
Okay. Give me a minute. You guys
spooky
go first.
Bad boys.
Well, we do have Lucifer.
Oh, the
from the TV show?
From the TV
hot.
Show.
Okay.
Hot.
Okay.
Very hot.
What's his name? Tom.
I don't know
is
the
it
actor's name, but
Lucifer.
Wow.
But he is the devil.
Yeah. Very sexy.
He helps solve crimes.
Uh-huh.
Why did my mind immediately go to that old 50s movie Rebel Without a Cause?
James Dean.
Rebel
there
Without
you go.
A Cause.
Well, listen.
Uh-oh. I know it's not spooky, you know, like that's
no, but that's okay. It was just bad boys. That's fine. If we're going that direction, I feel like I must only because all of Instagram and you all saw the contents of my trunk.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Oh.
The number. I counted. Uh-huh. And the ones that made it to adulthood of the pictures of Johnny Depp that I had on my wall whenever I was a teenager. 16 is what I have.
Oh, my God.
And 2 t-shirts. Mm.
Okay. So, I think I know my bad boy then. If you're doing that, I have one.
I think I'm gonna go with if we're going characters, let's do a Captain Jack Sparrow.
Let's go Rob Lowe if you were gonna do. Now I'm torn.
Well, take your pick. I feel like Johnny Depp has done a lot of bad boy characters. Or mm-hmm. Misunderstood, we could go with an Edward Scissorhands, but I feel like there's too much going on there. Yeah. I'm going to go with a Jack Sparrow because you know that's a mistake. Wonderful.
Okay.
You do, but.
I got one.
Okay.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey. Wow.
But he is so good as Beetlejuice.
He is good.
So funny.
I'm changing mine.
Okay.
Based on that.
Yeah.
The Goblin King in the Labyrinth.
Oh, no shit. I have a Goblin King t-shirt too.
Amazing.
With David Bowie's face on it. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
That cod piece.
My very first crush. So, yeah.
So it's Captain Jack.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Goblin
King.
And Beetlejuice.
And Beetlejuice.
Wait. But I love Michael Keaton.
I do too.
And he's so good at that character.
No, I know. And to be honest, like for like a undead man with like a weird growth moss situation on his face.
Right.
Hot. Like still hot somehow.
So funny. He's going to keep you laughing.
Because he's funny. That's why he's still hot.
We know I love funny. It is my red flag, but it is also my favorite.
Oh, no.
I know what I'm going to do.
Okay. You go
this
first.
I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
There are a couple sexual awakenings in this Fuck, Marry, Kill.
Of course. There are. I think all of them are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, maybe not all of them.
I am going to fuck Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
It's a good call.
It's like we'll share a yo ho ho and a bottle of rum and a
scurvy
good night.
And
yeah, exactly. It's a one night thing. It'll be fun.
You shower immediately afterwards because
yeah.
Or you're gonna need a merkin for the rest of your life.
Yeah, a lot. And you know, I'm kind of like a hygiene person.
Yeah.
And the Beetlejuice thing is like that dirty guy that has like dirty fingernails.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's like,
can you see
trying
him
to come
like,
up and you're like, don't like that. And then I'm going to marry the Goblin King.
Yeah.
I want to be a queen. I get a like castle. You get like fun little like
friends. It's goblins. A musical, which is also a good time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think you just turned it off for me right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
That's tough.
There's animal friends. You get to have like a pet owl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a really beautiful dress. Jennifer Connelly is like sparkly white big shouldered gown. Goals.
The things that I'm like, first of all, like it almost makes me think that sex or like those kind of things are definitely have to be like ingrained in your DNA.
Sure.
Because I was young when I watched Labyrinth and there were feelings and thoughts that confused me.
The eye immediately goes to his crotch. Like,
cod piece.
Wow.
It's like larger than life.
Whoa. You know, I feel like it was that. I will say like, for me, Captain Jack Sparrow was an awakening. Like, you know, that came out when I was 14. I saw it in theaters a couple times.
There's something about the guyliner, too.
Oh, just.
And that mascara.
Hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hot. But I will say, it's David Bowie in Labyrinth, and it was Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh,
where I was like,
why did we go there?
I'm like, I'm confused.
Wow.
And very turned on.
Yes. Like, very.
Oh, man. I'm so disappointed I didn't pick Tim Curry as Dr. Frankenfurter.
Because, whoa. Like, you're like, why? What's happening? What is happening here? But
layers.
Okay. Layers. This is very hard for me. I feel like mistakes are going to be made for all three of us. Mm-hmm. There's no good choice here. There's no obvious choice. I'm going to marry Captain Jack Sparrow. Okay. Look, Listen, listen.
Well, Megan, no, I thought we'd learned a lot.
Come in here and shut the door.
No. Yeah. Look, look. There's adventure. I love some adventure.
Whatever
he is,
you say.
He is still funny, right? He's not like Beetlejuice funny, but he's not like David Bowie, who is not really funny in Labyrinth. Like Goblin King isn't funny. Like,
no. I love it.
I know. And I know that's what makes sense for you. He's very serious. He's the red wine drinker of the three. Okay.
He's very wry in that movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I feel like he's going to make me feel stupid all the time. And I don't want that in
my life.
He feels
mansplaining.
Okay. Yeah. Like he's going to make me feel dumb constantly. And I can't do it. So I am going to, I'm going to marry Captain Jack. It's gonna be a toxic relationship, okay? He's gonna be gone for a long period. He's gonna be doing God knows what.
Yeah.
But when we're together, it'll be.
And then you gotta compete with Keira Knightley, right?
Well, she ends up with Orlando, so it's fine. We'll double date. It'll be good.
I don't think we will.
I don't think we will either.
I don't see this panning out. I have dangerous feelings about this whole relationship.
I know it's a mistake. I know it right now. I know that
they're all mistakes.
We're gonna end up being estranged. Like that's what's gonna happen. It's like technically I'm married to him, but like not really. You know what I mean? That's what's gonna end up happening. Yeah. But it's okay. He is like an anti-hero, like morally ambiguous sort of character. But when it's good, it's gonna be really good. So there's that. I am gonna.
Good luck.
Oh,
I think you only have one choice here. That's fine.
I mean, I don't know, because of the two characters, I actually prefer Beetlejuice. Like, I think me and Beetlejuice are gonna like have
so fun,
a great fucking time. Yeah, like we're gonna have honestly, if he wasn't so like dead and like kind of gross, like. He would be the best choice to marry.
It might fall off. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it might fall off. What if it fell off?
No.
Keegan?
I just watched Teeth, so it's on my mind.
Oh.
But, I mean, that's the thing. Because of the three, like, personality-wise, like, Beetlejuice is probably actually the best. Like, the most tolerable long-term.
Right.
I cannot picture having sex with him. Like, I just can't.
Well, let's normalize sex not having to be
there. You go.
PIV. And there. Sex can be like two people getting off next to each other. You know
there
what
you
I
go.
Mean?
Oh, okay. You go. You know? All right. You know
maybe
what? Okay.
Like,
fine. In that case, I am going to fuck Beetlejuice because I feel like it would be more than just the sex. I'm going with a whole date night. Yeah. And I think, you know, he's going to give me a tour.
So much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to meet a lot of like weird, kooky characters along the way. He's going to tell me a lot of jokes like maybe I couldn't deal with like day in, day out for the rest of my life. Just joke. But like on a date.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Would be fun. Yeah. So I'm going to do that because that seems like a good time.
Yep.
We already said.
More Goblin cod King. Piece for me.
Goblin King was a sexual awakening for me. That Tina Turner haircut, fantastic.
So true.
But
what if I buy that same wig and then I go as
yes. Oh yes. Okay, amazing. Wait. So I'm gonna have to kill him just because I really do. I feel like he's gonna make me feel stupid. I feel like he's also pretty controlling. Like I'm not gonna be able to get out and do my own thing, which is gonna get old for me. I don't wanna be stuck in,
The labyrinth.
In the labyrinth forever. You know? So
friends.
Yeah,
but I
need
like my own life.
I need options. With Jack, I have the open sea, okay? Yeah, I've got options.
That's true.
All right. I'm gonna rock your world. First and foremost, I have never seen Labyrinth. I feel like we've discussed this before.
You almost choked
on your Mattello.
Wow.
I have never seen the Labyrinth. I understand enough about it. I've seen enough images. I've seen bits and pieces enough to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart to do this because we know I'm a huge David Bowie fan. But it's just not for me.
Yeah.
It's not for me. And it's a little bit of the mansplaining thing. I love smart people. I love having good, intelligent conversations.
It's actually, I think, the most romantic of the three.
Oh, perfect.
In
I'm
a
out.
Weirdly toxic-y
very
kind of
toxic way.
Way.
Like,
yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fuck the Goblin King. That's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna fuck the Goblin King.
Yeah.
I just want that because I actually don't. I like smart people. I love good conversation. I feel like we'll have that. I can deal with it for one night. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that codpiece.
Dude,
and it's David Bowie.
And he can move his hips, and he does in that movie. He does.
I don't want too much singing in my life. Like, that's fine. I come out for that. Like, that can't be my life. But I'm killing Jack Sparrow. I can't. I am for sure getting something from that. And it isn't going to be a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to fucking marry Beetlejuice. And here's why. In my mind, imagine myself as Peters. What's her name?
Winona Ryder?
Peters. No.
No, from Gina Davis's character?
No. Different movie, different Scrooge. She was in Scrooged, something Peters. What's her name? Oh, that's
Bernadette.
Good. Bernadette Peters.
Yes, okay.
Imagine myself as the Bernadette Peters ghost from Scrooge.
Okay.
That's who I am. We're both insufferably funny to ourselves.
Yeah.
But no one else thinks we're funny. We're ruining lives in the spirit world together forever.
Oh wow. Okay.
You know, will say that is probably one of the most fun fates is just you're just fucking with people constantly. This feels very right. I feel like our decisions make right sense for us.
Yeah.
It's gonna be so much fun. I can't wait. Michael Keaton, I can't wait.
Yeah, it'd be a good time. I mean, look, no great decisions were made here today. Like I'm not proud. But will I watch my Captain Jack Sparrow t-shirt that I have in my cedar chest and wear it? Unironically, as an adult, yeah,
of course,
yes, of course, I will.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know how many unironic shirts I wear all the time?
Exactly. You guys want to take five, and we'll come back with stories.
Sounds good.
Yes, cool. And we're back. Okay, so I'm going to kick us off with stories. Okay, I got set up on a blind date by some friends. The date was early September, and we met in a restaurant in the city. It was a nice place, the kind where the wait staff wear dress shirts, ties, etc. I was in a nice suit and tie.
Olive Garden.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. She showed up in jeans, flip-flops, and a hoodie. I jokingly said something along the lines of, I'm assuming they didn't tell you this place is sort of snooty. She goes, they did. I didn't give a fuck.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
Listen, all right. That's big energy.
This woman is a vibe. Like, let me tell you. Okay. Continuing. I ain't shaving my legs and putting on some fancy dress for some guy who I don't even know if I want to touch his dick, let alone if I'm willing to let him between my legs.
Oh,
well, all right. Okay.
Shit.
Out the gate.
All right. Coming in hot.
I just stared at her in disbelief. She then said, I mean, you seem nice and all, but I ain't in the mood to do all that work when I can just go home and do it myself.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, spot the lie.
Yeah.
I asked her to keep her voice down and she goes, in all caps, why do you want me to keep my voice down? You afraid people will hear me talking about going home and fucking myself with my vibrator instead of letting you come back and fuck me?
Yes, actually, yes.
I am worried about that. That's exactly my fear right now. Precisely what I'm worried about. Yes.
Yes, you've nailed it. My worst fear is happening.
Oh my gosh. Like my Capricorn self, like I want to watch that drama, but I don't want to be in the midst of it.
No.
Crawl out of my skin.
I just stood up, walked over to the waiter, paid for the drink I had while waiting, apologized to them for her outburst, and said, blind date, I'm not sticking around, and left.
Oh. Wow.
I did hear from our mutual friends that she later got married to some guy, stabbed him on their anniversary a few years later, and is now in jail for attempted murder.
Wow. Oh.
They were like, yeah, we always knew she was kind of crazy.
But
you
set me up with her.
Why? Do you talk to those friends again?
No.
Like, you can't trust them.
You. And also, what do you think of me?
Yes. Also, there has to be this thing, you guys. I've thought about this when Christine was single. I've thought about this. We have another friend who's single. And I'm like, just because you know single people does not mean those single people have to be together.
No. And more than that, like, this is a weird thing where it's like, it's okay if your single friends are single.
Yeah.
Like, they don't need to be fixed up. They, you know what I mean? They're fine.
Just because you know two single people does not mean they have to be set up.
No, I mean, and also just like there is this trend that's gone around on TikTok where it's like women talking about how like, oh, my husband is always like if anything happens to me, you better not like get with anyone else. And she's like, why would I? She's like, listen, if anything happens to you, I'm staying alone. Like, yeah. I'm not doing this again.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of women feel like that. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of women more than ever. I feel like it was always a threat previously to be like, oh, keep acting like that. You're going to end up alone.
Okay.
It's like, okay. All right.
Cool. Great.
Fine. I like myself.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
fine with like being by myself. It's cool.
It's not a threat, really.
You don't yeah. need to pair up every single person you meet That's with right. every other single person you know. Okay.
That's right. All right. So I'm going to start by her. This person's opening message. It says, hi, ladies. I stumbled across your podcast a few months ago and Back Catalog is providing some much needed fun to my boring job. The hummus shame receipt story is still living rent-free in my head.
Yeah.
Here's the story of one of my worst dates. Now I'm going to tell you the title of this. Movies to not make out to.
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Appreciate this. Several years ago, fresh out of college, I was pretty new to online dating and very selective about who I met in person. This guy, let's call him George, and I clicked on the app and we decided to meet in person. First date, he took me to a fancy Italian restaurant and we had a wonderful time. The only pink flag was that he was kind of cagey about his job, but the rest of the conversation was great and sparks were flying, so I agreed to a second date. George took me to another nice restaurant, and this time he made some comments about his job, which I interpreted to mean he was a drug dealer.
Oh. Okay.
He never came out and said it.
I mean, this feels like a little more than a pink flag yeah. at this moment.
He never came out and said it, but that would explain the money for nice dinners. Not my scene, but at that point in my life, I wasn't assertive enough to end the date and ask him directly. So I went ahead with the planned post-dinner movie. We went to a movie theater, which specializes in movies about to leave the theater. And the movie they were showing was Dallas Buyers Club.
I feel like that is the nicest way of saying that's a cheap movie theater, because that's what cheap movie theaters are. They're like specializes in movies that are about to leave the theater. Dallas Buyers Club.
It's not a date movie.
It's not. Oh my God.
Which I knew nothing about. We walked into the theater.
It's so depressing.
And George was stoked to see that we were the only people in the showing. At the time, I was
You're going to make out to Dallas Buyers Club?
At the time, I was quite the horn dog, and it had been a while. So even though that pink flag was now red, I figured I could at least get a good makeout session in. Well, the movie comes on, and it turns out the plot is about the early days of the AIDS crisis, and pretty much the entire runtime, there are people dying horribly of the disease.
Yeah.
George was undeterred, and he kept trying to make out during the whole movie. I, however, had lost all enthusiasm due to the subject matter and alternated between half-hearted closed mouth kisses and saying, hold on, I want to watch this scene.
Oh,
afterwards, he walked me to the subway stop and neither of us ever contacted the other again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew McConaughey, for helping me weed out George.
Listen, no, that's like that scene in Seinfeld where they make out to Schindler's List.
Oh yeah.
It's like, you cannot. No. Like, you cannot. If you want a movie strictly, like if you want to pay like $11 each a ticket to go see something that you just want to make out to, I mean, that's like a Wedding Crashers, right?
Yes.
Like you gotta go to like,
you gotta do a funny
a comedy.
Light. Yeah. Do not do Dallas Buyers Club.
No, which not only because it's a really depressing movie, but also it's a really good movie. I would be doing the same thing. I'm like, no, the scene work is fantastic.
On. Yeah.
You're like, I'm in this. Wait, one second.
Okay. So this one's pretty short. I fucking love how it ends. Okay. My friends forced me onto an online dating site, read as they created a profile for me and picked out matches.
I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, this is right after a 4-year-long relationship ended and insisted I get back out
there.
Now, you're not ready. Didn't say how long after that 4-year relationship. But I feel like you guys, like, people got to do things on their own timeline. Like, you know, like, I definitely asked you guys for help with mine, but I wouldn't.
And want whatever you said, I was like, yes, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of what I mean. Like, if you ask your friends to help you, because there were a few times when you were like, take a look at these guys and like, let me know, whatever, that's fine. But I don't know. Forcing, I would hate it if somebody made an account for me and forced me.
Oh, you would absolutely.
Don't tell me what to do.
You wouldn't be our friends anymore. And I'm like that.
I'd be like, listen, we need to take a pause. We need to take a friend break.
Wow.
Ouch. Well,
so I went on 3 dates total. All of them were horrible. The worst was a guy asked me if I could pick him up because his car is in the shop. Okay, no big deal. Crap happens, but at least he gave me enough notice to change plans. I went to pick him up and start to drive to the restaurant when he asks me to pull into a fast food parking lot because he needs to use the restroom. Mind you, this is all of 5 minutes after we left his apartment.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay. Strange, but maybe nervous bladder.
If that does happen, I will say that. Like, I will, like, I don't know how it happens, mm-hmm. but, like, I'll pee before I leave someplace.
Well, we know me.
And, yeah, I feel like you and I are the same, Cassie. It's like, I'll pee before I leave someplace. Doesn't matter. Then, like, 10 minutes down the road, I'm like, how do I have to pee again? I have consumed no more liquid. I don't understand. So I'm willing to give this guy the benefit of the doubt.
Well, special me assumes he's going to go inside like a normal human.
Nope. That is also what I think.
That yes, is that not the case?
Dude goes to the dumpsters and proceeds to do his business hidden behind one of the dumpsters.
No.
Now that's enough to make me be done, but nope, it gets better.
No.
Mid pee.
Oh no.
Cops show up, and not only do they pull out their citation book, they address him by name.
Oh, sir.
I overheard one of the cops say, Joe, haven't we talked about this before? You can't keep taking care of business in public.
Oh, my God.
What is that? What do we think that is? And then I pulled out of the parking lot immediately. Yeah. Is that a fetish thing? Like, what is that? Like, if you have a compulsive need to, like, whip it out in public and...
That's gotta be some sort of fetish thing.
Right? Yeah,
sir.
Exactly. If they fucking know your name and they're like, we've had this conversation.
I just imagine them pulling up and it's just one of those like.
She says, at this point, I didn't even wait around. I flat out left him in that parking lot.
That's right.
And went and bought myself some nice takeout to take home and spend the evening on my couch, where I promptly deleted the dating account and planned payback on my so-called friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. We had 2 bad setups this string of stories. Oh, no, no.
Joe, we talked about this.
Sir.
Wow.
Don't set up your friends.
No.
Don't set up your friends.
Or get better friends.
Exactly.
You can't trust your friends at all.
Woof. Woof, woof, woof. Oh,
okay, listen. I had a hard time this week because I feel like I came in hot. I came in real hot with the changeling story. Then we had a ghost story. We had a vampire story. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I didn't take into account that I would be doing 2 October tainted love stories. Okay.
Right.
So I was deep in the googs, right? Like trying to figure out like what to do this week. And I really wanted to keep it supernatural, but I couldn't find any good ones in that realm. However.
Yeah, because we've actually done a werewolf story before.
Did we?
Yeah, it was the Canadian girl who... whose boyfriend said he was a werewolf.
Like a 300-year-old werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. So we did that. We've done quite a few, like, kind of, like, supernaturally, like, ones.
You did the UFO one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will never forget that.
Yeah. Listen.
Ever.
Aliens. So this one isn't supernatural. However, it does take place on Halloween.
Okay.
So,
all right.
There you go.
Around 11:30 p.m. on Halloween night in 1957, Peter and his wife, Betty, are awakened to the sound of their doorbell ringing. So they spent the whole evening handing out candy in their Los Angeles neighborhood. So they thought I feel like you would know the story.
I know the story.
Okay. So,
almost did it.
Because I didn't know this one, but I was just like, that makes sense that Cassie knows it. So they were handing out candy in their Los Angeles neighborhood all night, and they had just gone to bed. So when the doorbell rang, they were like, okay, it's just another trick-or-treater. So Peter, he was like kind of annoyed, but he just got out of bed. He grabbed the bowl of candy and he opened the front door. So the person at the door was sporting a superhero mask and had a paper bag in one hand, and Betty could hear Peter at the door. So he asked, "It's a little late for this, isn't it?" before she heard a pop that was so loud that the couple's daughter, Judy, woke up.
Whoa.
So she rushed to the front door to find her husband in a pool of blood. And then she ran to a neighbor who happened to be a police officer, and he alerted authorities, and Peter was taken to Sun Valley Hospital in Los Angeles, where he was declared dead. So the police were stumped. The only witness was a teenager who had seen the car speeding away down the street, and there were no shell casings at the scene, and the motive was really hard to pin down. They were like, maybe this is a mob hit because it's the way it was done was so like clean. Peter had been a successful hairdresser.
This is why I know the story.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And owned several lucrative beauty and hair shops, but theft didn't seem to be the motive, as nothing was taken. And he had no ties to organized crime or really crime of any kind. Like, I think he had like a tax related charge from like years before, but like there was nothing that would link him to like any kind of like mob activity. So Peter and Betty met in the 1940s in New York, when Betty was already divorced from her first husband and a single mother of two. A year prior to Peter's death, the couple decided to leave New York and start over in Los Angeles. So Peter opened a hair salon that was a quick success. Like, obviously, they'd only been living in Los Angeles for like a year, but it was very lucrative immediately. Nice. I don't know if he was already an established hairdresser in New York and brought his name with him or what, but he was very successful. And so from the outside, Peter and Betty's marriage appeared to be perfect. Like, everybody was like, yeah, that's the perfect couple. He was his wife's hairstylist, so she was around the salon all the time. Privately, though, the couple were having issues. So there aren't a lot of details about what their marital problems were. But we do know that at one point, Betty felt like she needed space from Peter. And she left the couple's home for a time and moved in with her friend, Joan Rabble. So Joan was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in 1917, and she had a lucrative career as a writer and photographer before divorcing her husband in the late 1950s. So trying to make it as a single woman, she knew she needed a job, and she applied for a job at one of Peter's salons, where she was hired. And while there, she met Betty, and the two women became fast friends. So Joan would spend a lot of time with the Fabianos, who treated her like family. Like, she was over there all the time. She was having dinner with them. She was with their kids. Like, seemed like this is just mom's friend, family friend, right? Mm-hmm. So when Betty was going through her marital problems and staying with Joan, Joan says that Betty confessed to her that Peter was abusive and controlling. And I haven't been able to find any evidence to back up this claim, but I mean, no one knows.
Sure. You don't know what happens behind closed
doors.
Yeah,
you never know. Right. You never know. What we do know is that Peter did become threatened by the closeness of the friendship between Betty and Joan. And here's where it's a little like ambiguous. Like, we don't know, because it's the 1950s.
It's the time. And right. So I do know this case now. Mm-hmm. And they were definitely like tiptoeing around without saying like lesbian. They
had a relationship.
Right. The papers called the relationship quote unquote abnormal. Mm-hmm. Right. And you really don't know, because you're like, okay, that is tiptoeing coded language for a lesbian relationship. However, also, this was a time when this wasn't the first thing in the media that had to do with relationships like this. And so they also knew that it was something that was like a hot ticket item to help them sell papers to.
Right,
so
right.
It's difficult to know what the truth was.
Right.
But regardless, a lot of people agreed that their relationship was very close. Mm-hmm. And we don't know a lot about Betty, but it did appear as though Joan was very attached to Betty. Mm-hmm. Whether that was romantically or not, she was very...
She's ride or die.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's debated. And Cassie's like, I would for any of you. Okay.
Didn't say anything. I don't know what I'm talking about. Just quietly over here.
Like, you can shut the fuck up. So, and it's also said that this wasn't Joan's first romantic interest in a woman either. Like, she had, you know, kind of like romantic feelings or relationships with women in the past. So that's part of why there's the speculation there. Mm-hmm. So Peter was eventually able to convince Betty to come home, and the two agreed to work on repairing their marriage. And in doing so, Betty agreed to break off the friendship with Joan. So that's another reason why people speculate that maybe it was an affair or some kind of romantic relationship, because she did, in part of the deal with her going back to repair her marriage with Peter, was you can't see Joan anymore. Right. Mm-hmm.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
I know my parents tried to make me not friends with people before too.
How'd that work out?
Did not work.
Yeah. If you ever want to make like a look, we all know that like that secrecy is hot, mm-hmm. you know, that it just makes the allure like more generally, like, you know. So Joan began to obsess over the idea of rescuing Betty from what she believed to be an abusive, loveless marriage. So the same year that Joan met Betty, she also met another woman, 42-year-old North Hollywood resident Golden Pizer. First of all, Golden with a Y. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, amazing. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I liked doing this story because of all the like LA Easter eggs. I got some of my information from a blog called the VintageWomanMagazine.com.
Oh, awesome.
And they really highlighted a lot of like, because, you know, it was a focus not only on the fact that this is like a 1950s housewives kind of like murder, but also like there were a lot
the nostalgia
of like 1950s Los Angeles landmarks. In like she went out of her way to put those things into the story.
I love it.
Which was
nice.
Was cool, yeah. So Golden Pizer. Again, because none of this has been officially confirmed, I always hesitate to comment on the sexuality of people because, as we know, like sexuality is a spectrum. And I don't ever like to say like they were definitely this or that, right? But for the sake of this story, I will say that it appeared as though Golden became infatuated with Joan. Again, it was a thing where she was like right away, like, by her side, ride or die for Joan, right?
Got it. So she's got that for Joan. Joan's got that for Betty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So she was also recently divorced. And so you got like two divorcees in their 40s. And after Betty moved out of Joan's home, Joan began to start spending all of her free time with Golden. So the two women, they were called Clatch Friends.
Oh, which that feels coded as well.
Which it does. It does. But I think it means like coffee. Like they would meet up at like a coffee house and just spend hours and hours at this, like, I can picture it now, this like 1950s coffee house together talking. So Joan began to tell Golden that Peter not only abused his wife and children, but that he threatened her, Joan's, life as well. Joan appeared really heartbroken and really angry that Betty left her and returned to her husband, and she told Golden that she needed to find a way to protect Betty, right? She's just like, we have to get her out of this relationship. It's said that Joan manipulated Golden's feelings for her, and after a three-month period, she had managed to convince Golden that not only was Peter an evil man who needed to be gotten rid of, but also she also got Golden to agree to do the killing herself, uncompensated. Like, she was an unpaid hit woman.
Wow.
Right? It was just like, she was like, okay.
Anything for you.
Anything for you, Joan, right? So to prepare for the hit, Joan, who was somehow still working for Peter, this I don't understand.
Yeah, that feels weird.
Like, Peter's like, you have to break off this relationship with Joan, Betty, but I'm going to keep her employed at my...
She's a really good worker.
Look, I just... She runs the books or like whatever, you know? So Joan brought Golden around the salon so that she'd be able to recognize Peter. Like, she knew exactly what she was looking for. And Golden bought a .38 Smith & Wesson from a shop in Pasadena under the guise of wanting the weapon for personal protection. Because this is America and you can go in and say whatever you want. Because you do have to state a reason for purchasing a weapon. But they can't. They don't know.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
I'm going to shoot the girl that I like's boss because I want to. Is that
because
that's not the reason?
She's in love with his wife. Got it. I guess it doesn't fit on that one little line. It doesn't fit. You know, yeah. It would be hard. Protection. You got to put like a sticky note there. Yeah. To
also,
get it all.
If you're golden, though, it's like, it's really kind of sad.
Right.
Because very if sad. She's going to kill Peter.
Which is basically standing in the way.
Right. Of Joan and Betty being together.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a terrible thing, but it's rather like kind of self be like, well, you know,
whatever to make you happy, whatever to Joan, make you happy, Joan. Even if it means I'm still alone.
Yeah.
At the end of this, it's really sad, I mean, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So on Halloween night, Joan borrowed a car from a friend, picked up Golden, and the two women waited outside the Fabiano home, watching the trick-or-treaters go up to the door until the lights in Betty and Peter's bedroom went out just after 11 p.m. Then Joan helped tie the superhero mask around Golden's eyes. Golden got out of the car, putting the gun inside a brown paper bag, and approached the house. So she wanted to look like a trick-or-treater. There are few things that I think are like more scary, and maybe it's because like the strangers that movie is imprinted on my brain at a very young age.
Dude, we were watching Halloween Kills the other night.
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm going to talk about at the end, but right in the middle of Michael walking into the house, our fucking front door opens.
No.
And a fucking stranger walks into our fucking house.
Lock your doors, Christina.
Now I do. But it was just like a friend of the neighbor who got like the apartment number wrong.
That's happened to me more than once.
I literally is the scariest thing when somebody just walks into your fucking place. Mm-hmm.
No. And there is just something about like,
especially during a scream,
someone being yes.
This is what I did too. I went, whoa. So now knowing that that's going to be my fucking reaction, I know that in my heart now.
You got to keep the door locked because that's not going to do anything.
It didn't. It didn't do anything. He continued to enter the domicile.
Whoa, buddy.
Whoa, that's me.
100%.
I'm sorry, that's so funny. Oh, God.
That is me, though, too. I'm like, I have no, my reaction is going to be so
sitting
shit.
Sitting on the couch with a glass of wine. Like, what the fuck? I have nothing to yeah.
Whoa.
No, like, it's over for me. Like, in a situation like that.
That was Michael Myers.
We're done. Dead.
There are certain things you just need to know about yourself.
Yes.
And for me, it's that, like, listen, I like to talk shit on everybody in horror movies for doing the wrong thing. But I also know that, like, look, I'm not going to do the obvious wrong thing, like running up into the attic or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, I am not going to make it out alive. No, I know that.
Listen, it's funny to me because I've also had somebody walk in the house. I am the person who, even in my house, when I know there's nobody else there except for my family, if Chris comes up behind me and
you
touches
jump.
Me, I'll go to punch him. Yeah. Like, I'll fist up and like, to, like, that's my reaction to my actual husband. But I had somebody walk in my house. Of course, I was standing kind of back behind the door a little bit. So my son actually saw the person walk in. And so it was one of those like, who dis? Like, mm-hmm. just coming in, and Dylan looked at the guy, like, and dude was like, oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry. Like,
well, that's generally the response. Yeah. Like, that did happen to me. Like, it's happened to me twice, but one time when I was young and dumb in my early 20s, we really did have like a Seinfeld, like, pop in open door policy at our apartment, and people would just like come in, people we knew, but like, we left the door unlocked. Like, oof. And very
that's not,
stupid.
Yeah, that's not
so
how you do it.
So stupid. But so one guy did one time, and like, we were all just like sitting in the living room. None of us did anything. Like, it's just like, we just like turned and looked at him, and then he was like, oh, sorry. And like, turned and walked out. But for sure, if he had wanted to kill us.
Oh yeah. You're all dead.
Could have. But this guy, Christina, he proceeded to walk in.
Oh yeah. He opened the door, walked in like fucking dog sauce or mind me. Whoa. And he's like, oh, are you expecting me? And I'm like,
what?
No.
I don't know.
Do I look familiar to you, sir?
And he's like, oh, this must be the wrong apartment then. And then just like backed out. It's like,
okay.
And so then I'm like, now I have to sit with this knowledge for the rest of Halloween. This is what I do.
That whoa.
Whoa.
I love a reality where that works. Ugh. Where they're like, oh yeah, my bad. Yeah. Oh god. Okay, anyway, well, the whole point of that is like there are very few things that I can think of, but like that would haunt me. If you're Betty, do you ever participate in like trick-or-treating again? Like that to me is so like scary, like someone being at your front door. And something about someone being in a mask as well, mm-hmm. like, is...
It might not have been as scary back in the 50s, like, when people used to, like, visit each other. But, like, I know for me, like, someone being at my door in general, terrifying.
Also, think about a 1950s Halloween mask. Oh. The most terrifying of all time. Like, old-timey Halloween costumes...
Ooh.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Horrific. The scariest.
Yeah. Like, truly, like, what were we thinking? Even into, like, the 80s where those plastic masks where you're like, what are you doing?
And now I want to Google, like, old-timey Halloween costumes.
Yeah. I'm scared of my own children.
I am really excited for the next time we record when you guys get to talk about what my costume was.
Oh, God.
I'm really excited too. Okay. Can't wait. Okay. Yes. So the lights go out. Halloween night, the Fabiano's home. It's just after 11. Joan has helped Golden tie on the superhero mask. It only took one shot to commit the murder before Golden ran back to the car where Joan was waiting and the two sped down the street. When Joan dropped Golden off at home, she told her friend, "Forget you ever knew me." The rejection.
Ouch.
Ouch. You just committed murder for this woman.
Right.
And she's like, "Okay, thanks, bye." Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't... Oh.
The next morning, Golden realized she had the gun and that Joan hadn't told her what to do with it. So she drove to a department store building in downtown Los Angeles and dumped it in a storage container. 2 weeks after the murder, police located the weapon and it was quickly traced back to Golden because she bought it legally, you know. When the police arrived at her home to arrest her, she went peacefully, telling them, "It's a relief to get it off my mind."
Okay.
She soon told the police everything, and it became clear right away that Golden was not the brains of the operation. When asked about her motive, she said, quote, "I had no motive personally. Whatever motive I had was to please Joan."
Oof.
Joan was eventually arrested, and the two went through a number of examinations with psychiatrists as the court believed that homosexuality may have made them unfit to stand trial.
Wow. Ugh, we've talked about that before on this podcast. It's just like, it's infuriating.
At this time, it was still in the DSM as like a like mental illness.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting. So one of the psychiatrists wrote about Golden Pizer, quote, "The only thought she had was that she had saved her friend, Joan Rabble, from an evil person." In the one photo that I can find of the two women together outside of the court hearing, Golden appears to be like stunned and tearful, while Joan looks completely unbothered. Like if you looked at this photo, she looks almost like slightly amused. Like you wouldn't think that these were two women who were on trial for murder. If you just looked at her, right? I would normally say that you can't draw too many conclusions from one photo. However, it was reported that the two women's demeanor differed in court as well, with Golden often weeping or stricken with remorse, and Joan either hollow-eyed and stone-faced or smiling nonchalantly throughout.
Oof.
Yeah. Golden initially pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity. She claimed that Joan had managed to cast a Svengali-like spell over her, which is how it was reported in the media as well, that she was helpless to resist. The words "in love" or "infatuation" were never used throughout the trial, but they were heavily implied that like Golden was in love with Joan, and that's why she did this. Mm. Joan Rabble pleaded not guilty but refused to comment during the trial. Both women eventually changed their pleas and were convicted of second-degree murder, which how? Because it seems like it was a planned murder.
Very premeditated.
Very first is what I'm hearing.
Degree, you know?
Yeah.
And were sentenced to 5 years to life in prison, which seems like a very wide gap.
Yeah.
Range. Yeah. You know?
Pretty wide.
There's little known about the true relationship, the true nature of the relationship between Betty and Joan. because they didn't focus on that. They right. it was more sensational to focus on Golden and Joan, who were like these two women who were in love with each other, who did this thing. They left Betty almost completely out of it, like, because she was just this housewife, right? And they kind of like left her out of it. They made it sound like this was entirely on Joan. Like, Joan.
Yeah, you gotta wonder how involved Betty was in all this. 100%.
Yeah. Some speculate that the two women were in fact lovers and that Betty actually engineered the death of her husband with Joan, who brought on Golden because she believed that she could easily manipulate her as the fall guy everything.
This sounds more accurate.
Right.
But this sounds.
We don't know. You know, those claims were unsubstantiated, as were the claims that Peter was abusive. Like, we just, those things weren't even looked at. They were like, nah, we got these two dames to take the fall and that's all we need. You know what I mean? After the trial, Betty sold the hair salon and moved to Palm Desert, where she remarried and eventually would pass away in 1999. It's unclear how long Golden and Joan served, but both were released around the same time. Golden stayed in the LA area until she passed in 1998 at the age of 83. No one knows what happened to Joan Rabble. She just
disappeared.
She's, So.
Whoa.
Hold on just one gosh darn minute.
I've never said that before in my fucking life. This is what my fucking fear.
You parent woed him. You're like, excuse me?
Oh my God. I was, wow. Good one. Good one.
Well, I guess we know what you're watching.
See the pictures.
Oh, yeah. Please send that to me.
I will.
I watched Halloween Kills, which might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
No, really?
Dude, when you watch it, it is... Like, I've seen all the Halloweens.
Yeah.
You know? The original Halloween is terrifying to me.
It's great.
It's so scary.
She's like, it's terrifying. I'm like, it's fantastic. Yes.
Yeah. But this new one is... an awful movie.
No,
it's not even so bad. It's good. It is straight up terrible.
Oh, it does look bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And we finally saw Malignant, which might be the weirdest thing my eyes have ever seen.
Chaos. Like,
wait, what?
That movie is
what?
Chaotic as fuck. Like, it is so bizarre. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. First half, you're like, okay. Second half, off the rails.
Wait, didn't they do that on How Did This Get Made? I think they did.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch that or listen to it. I also started rewatching, for some reason, Sex in the City, because I hadn't seen it in like 15 years. And very interesting to watch it as as an adult looking back.
Yeah.
I think the only one that's not really problematic is Samantha.
Yeah.
Well, there are some episodes where she's problematic too. Oh, yeah, if you're not there yet. Yeah. But, I mean, look.
It's a time capsule.
It's a time capsule. Like, for Your Angry Neighborhood Feminists, we did a whole episode about Sex and the City because it's complicated because in one way.
I used to remember emulating and wanting to be Sarah Jessica Parker.
Everyone wanted to be them.
And now I'm like.
You know. Oh, God. Yeah. No, toxic. But, you know, it was a show about, like, female sexuality. Which
and
was,
female friends.
And female friendship, which was, like, something that...
was very outlandish
at the time. It felt like a feminist, like, benchmark in a lot of ways. But then you rewatch it and you're like...
Ooh. And in some ways, I think that there is something to be said about that, which is that there was this idea that females don't get along. We all hate each other. We're all spiteful. We're all trying to get each other, you know, behind each other's backs. And I think that in some way we do have to walk away with the fact that that was not the case here. And in many ways, is that show is problematic. It is very benchmark in the way that it did show that females do get along and we can be friends and we do support each other and we
and
got
that
each
sex is
back.
Important and that for sex women is, yes. Right. Having frank conversations about it, you know, with each other as well. That was not something that was happening at the time. So there's a pro and con thing.
For sure. Absolutely. It's been a very interesting rewatch. You know, I remember like romanticizing even Aiden.
Oh, so
and now
much.
I'm like, he's not a great relationship
No, but big is. Oof.
Neither is big.
Oh, big awful. Is the worst.
Worst. The worst.
Oh, the worst, honey. Oh, man.
But yeah.
Okay.
I was pro Aiden.
I was too at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Much. I haven't seen it now. So now
still
I'm
still would
like,
have been the better choice.
Yeah.
It would have been the better choice other than big. But even he is not like they're incompatible in a lot of different ways. Like she wants to go out and be like, and he's just more of a homebody. And
Carrie should have ended up alone.
Yeah.
At the end of that. I think it would have given a much stronger message if she'd ended up
alone. They're coming back. So it'll be interesting to see.
We got another shot. Okay, we had the whole season, the whole series, and two movies. It's fine. Yeah. Don't do it. You're okay.
Definitely the second one you can skip for sure.
For sure, if you must watch the first one, feel free. But the second one, please just save yourself.
Okay,
unless you're on a plane, it's a plane movie.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And even if there's a better movie. Do that one.
Yeah, yeah. Rewatch Malignant on a plane.
So weird.
So I did start Squid Game. I've watched the first 6 episodes. I'm not going to give anything away, but if you've seen it, you know why. You know why I needed to take a break after episode 6. I was like, I got to... But also because I've been so busy that the only time that I like sit down to watch something is usually when I'm eating. And Squid Game is not like a eat and watch show, partially because I'm reading. Yeah, I'm reading the subtitles, and partially because it is very, very gruesome.
Intense, right?
Yeah, like there's a lot of like gore, kind of like a lot of blood and stuff like that, which is fine. It's just I don't want to do it while I'm eating.
Yeah.
But it is really good. Like there's a reason why it's number one in like.
Every country.
The entire world right now. Like it is, it's very, very good. I think it's really cool, you know, that we are seeing that things don't have to be American centric or English language to be popular.
That's right.
So I do definitely recommend it. I do need to finish it. I have also been watching kind of supplementally, like while I'm working and stuff, I've been watching Cults and Extreme Belief.
Oh yeah. On Hulu.
On Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is just, you know, a good thing to have on in the background.
Just, you know, a little light. Sitting here typing and listening about the Moonies, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. A little, you know, that Children of God one is like
the most upsetting. It's very upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it.
I remember about the Children of God. That happened like in the 80s, right?
Yeah. Mm. Flirty Fishing.
Yeah.
That's where we got that.
Mm-hmm. I have been watching. We just finished Only Murders in the Building.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah,
so fucking good. Nice. I recommend. It's so well done, and it's just really fucking good. It's just such a good show. And then supplementally, just been, you know, it's been a lot of British Bake Off at night.
Oh yeah. Oh, I did want to say also, we went to a screening of Antlers, which is a kind of a scary movie, supernatural folklore type thing with Carrie Russell. It hasn't come out in theaters yet because we just went to a screening at USC where Machine Gun Kelly was performing. But
brag.
If you're wondering, if you're wondering whether or not to see it because it will be coming out in theaters, I think around the time this episode comes up, I wouldn't pay for it. Like I would watch it if it came on when it's on Hulu. Like in a couple months.
It's supposed to be scary, right?
Yeah. It's also pretty gory.
Oh.
It's pretty gory. It's creepy, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's like good. Like I'd say like you could wait till it comes out on TV and watch it at home. I wouldn't pay money to see it.
Right on.
So yeah.
I heard it here first. Sunday to go see Dune.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
My husband's going tonight. He is, well, you know, number one Dune fan.
Yeah.
So this is what he plays for.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you have something that we should watch, if you've got stories, if you just want to reach out and say hello, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's mywarstatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers.